Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And joining us today, we have a duo from Michigan who are new to our studios. Welcome to Red Tail Ring. They are Michael Beauchamp and Laurel Primo. Welcome.
Hey, Christine.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
And you're here because you have a show tonight at Amazing Grace Bakery in Duluth. Local band 4 Mile Portage, also a duo, is going to be opening for you. Actually, maybe they're a trio now. I can't remember. Sometimes I think they play as a trio.
How many people show up?
They're going to be good no matter what happens. Tom and Brandy will be there, maybe somebody else, but whatever happens, it will be good. And it all starts at 7 o'clock. Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to have you get started with a song, and then we'll come back and find out more about you since it's your first visit here. What do you want to start
with? I think we'll play a song that I wrote kind of about this landscape up here. I grew up in the western side of the Upper Peninsula, so very similar home sites as where we are here in Duluth. This one's called Visiting, and it's just kind of nostalgic about growing up in the woods.
Cities from my face. I'm running back home to watch the aspen shake. Outside I'm laughing, inside I ache. I never find you when I go back home. I remember you there, but now I'm alone. Your old address was so easy to find. Now we only visit in memory. Ruddy water holds a picture of the sky. Trees painted red and the sun dips and dives. I wish I could show you, so I raise my eyes, shade myself from the setting and watch for a sign. I never find you when I go back. I am the bully singing the love song. Oh, what
would it hurt more to try again or keep rolling on? I may never find you when I go back home. I remember you there, but now I'm alone. My old phone was ringing all of the time. Now we only visit in memory. Here in
that is Red Tail Ring live from Studio A. And Laurel, you mentioned you wrote that about where you grew up in the UP, and now you're in Kalamazoo, is that right?
We actually just moved from Kalamazoo a little farther north, maybe kind of a halfway point in Michigan, getting a little more closer to where I grew up. And Michael grew up in Kalamazoo. So now we're headquartered in what they call Northern Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the Lower Peninsula.
Right.
Misnomer. But yeah, lots of sand dunes and Northwoods. So
mm-hmm.
But it's a great mix.
Nice. Yeah. And so you're a little closer to your roots, and Michael's closer, as close to his roots. And
yeah.
Nice. You each have a lot, you have separate musical backgrounds, kind of extensive ones before you started playing together. Laurel, do you want to tell me a little bit about your musical background before this project?
Sure. I have studied a lot of different traditional fiddle music in my education. Some stuff from Scandinavia as well as a lot of American things. So I'm bringing a little bit of those sounds into this project. But when Michael and I met each other and decided to start doing this project about 9 years ago, am I accurate on that? Both of us were, we were quite young, too, but we were playing as solo artists, both songwriters, and both of us wanted to work a little bit more with traditional music and involve it in our songwriting. So that was kind of the mission statement of this band, and has been since then, quite accurately.
Okay. And Michael, tell me a little bit about your musical background.
Well, mine isn't as cool as Laurel, but I do
sure is.
I do have an ethnomusicology degree.
That's
so
pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
And what does that mean? I hear that word, ethnomusicology. So what does that entail?
It's like a music degree for those of us who just really like reading. It's like an academic degree dealing with music. So I always think of it as like an anthropological degree. With music as the center.
Mm-hmm.
So analyzing culture, thinking about relationships between people with music as the link.
And does this involve also some field work and going out and exploring music in various
does,
places?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way that I always interpreted it is that you just keep your ears open all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have a degree in English literature. So I always thought that with my combined kind of academic pursuits of English writing and musicology, that this is like the perfect career track for me,
because
I'm writing songs and interpreting older musics. It's really what my degree program was designed for, I guess, being a folk musician.
As we're talking, I think I'm remembering something about Appalachia. Did you spend time there?
Or since we started the band, we've spent a fair amount of time touring and mm-hmm. performing down there. And
learning down there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And spending some time
tunes.
With folks.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But we're Michiganders and Midwesterners through and through.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we wear the badge of the Midwest pretty heartily.
So you do, you talked about your, Laurel, your love of traditional music was something that brought you together in this project. But you each are songwriters. So how does that work when you write? Well, first of all, do you still write separately? Do you ever write together now since you've started this project?
Rarely.
Mm-hmm.
There's some gems that have been truly I don't know what you call it. Yeah, true collaborations. You know, every line of the song kind of being whittled by each of us. But mostly for this project, it's each of our independent work coming together, and then we bring it to the other person and present it and ask for some ideas on arrangement or harmonies. And yeah, songs end up changing quite a bit from beginning to end.
Yeah, generally in the arrangement phase, that's when we have the most interaction. And yeah, so much can change in that moment where all we're working with is a melody and some lyrics, and then anything seems game to and anything's malleable. And we approach our original songs with the same kind of creative spirit as we do the traditional songs. So to us, it's all just one big fun pool of songs that we get to interact with and change.
And with the traditional songs, is it, how do you go about finding those or discovering those or choosing what you're going to perform?
Things come to us either from learning it from, you know, a musical friend or mentor that we love, or from listening to a lot of old recordings, or from digging through kind of archive library style recordings, which is a little more, you got to wear your boots for that. It's a little bit less, I don't know, easygoing, but so exciting when you get into it.
And bring a lunch.
And you got to bring a lunch. Yeah. So all those kind of sources, bring them to us. And then sometimes we treat them very traditionally, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we give them a treatment more like a modern song we wrote. So I think both the music coming from new places and from the old places, kind of through the lens of Red Tail Ring, are, I don't know, they're both being treated in a combination of ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so I'm curious, as a person who's not a musician, at least not a very good one, I'm curious about, so what's the difference between something that you approach more faithfully, like a traditional tune that you approach more faithfully, and something that, what makes it more modern when you, like, what's the difference between those two approaches musically?
Probably a lot of these old recordings are just a single performer. So already we have to make some kind of decision. Okay, how would two people perform this? Do we stick to the very simplest chords, or make it some kind of, you know, single drone piece if this was an unaccompanied vocal solo recording or something? And once in a while, using the fiddle, we'll stick to that oldest archaic form just because that's what sounds the most hardcore to us and speaks to our hearts. But choices to bring it more into the music we make now, that's been affected by time and lots of people making music and many influences coming into our ears, are reharmonizing it or adding new lyrics once in a while that connect the kind of ancient poetry, or, you know, maybe make the ancient poetry a little more easy to digest for today's audiences, or make it mean more to our story.
Which is a long tradition in folk music.
Yeah.
You know, there's all of those traditional songs that you still hear today, and they've adapted through the years. They've been passed on and adapted. And so,
does that sound accurate, Michael?
Yeah. Well, yeah, about that long tradition. Often people think of traditional material that's been sung and performed over decades or hundreds of years as being set in stone, like sometime in 1802 or something like that. Somebody sat down and wrote it, and more often than not, it's kind of a collaborative effort over decades and hundreds of years. It's almost more like a group collage than it is anything else.
They were doing the same thing we are now.
Yeah, that's just a tradition. And even though we're in this modern era, and obviously it's easy to kind of discount your own time, we think of ourselves as still existing inside of that tradition and interacting with a long tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. Well, let's hear another song, and then we'll come back and chat a little more. What do you want to play next?
We did pick out one other traditional, or a traditional tune to play for you.
To illustrate.
The first one is something we wrote. The second one is a ballad that made its way to America from Scotland, and it's called the Border Ballad because it was something sung about these warring times and in the locations between Scotland and England. So a lot of like bloody songs coming from that. And this one's called Yarrow. We were just in that area this winter doing some touring past that line. You ready, Michael?
Yeah.
2, 3, 1, 2. Willie's fair and Willie's rare and Willie's wondrous body, and he's promised to take my hand if ever he takes any. Sister dear, I've dreamed a dream, I'm afraid it is of sorrow. I dreamed I saw the heather green in the dowie dance of yarrow. Sister dear, I'll read your dream, read in it grief and sorrow. The green it brings misfortune here, and your love has drowned in yarrow. She sought him down, ran with his feet in sorrow. She found him neath a bush of broom in the dowie dens of yarrow. Her hair it was 5 quarters long, and color it was yellow. And she tied it to his middle small and pulled him out of yarrow. Yesterday, the day it shall be narrow, and there's ne'er a man lie by my side since Willie's drowned in Yarrow.
That's Red Tail Ring live from Studio A. And you mentioned you were playing banjo on the first couple of songs. Of course, I'm talking to Laurel, who's trying to get a new instrument here while she's away from the mic. But when did you start playing banjo? It sounds like fiddle was your first instrument.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think I picked up banjo around age 16 when I had some lessons with a gentleman named Joel Mabus. And I really hope he's toured out here in his long, long career, but he's really a Midwestern gem on the great flat pick and finger styles and Travis style guitar and, banjo and fiddle. He grew up kind of in what you call hillbilly music family in the southern Midwest. Was it Illinois, Michael? Southern Illinois. And I'm just so grateful that I got a chance to work with him around that age.
Mm-hmm.
So
was your family musical?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mom and my dad live in Iron County in the UP. And my mom taught me fiddle. She played a lot of hammer dulcimer as well. So that was my first taste into that world.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever, so you started out kind of with that folk background. Mm-hmm. Did you ever make forays into, you know, something very different from that?
Of course.
I always love these stories.
Yeah. I went into, my degree in college was, I guess what you call electronic music, kind of, you know, using technology in music and art. So there was plenty of great weird stuff in between there before I got all folksy minimal again. And I hope, I mean, a lot of my tech skills are mostly behind the scenes these days, but I hope to someday be creating with that on the outside of the project too. We will see.
Fun. Yeah. Well, and is there anything from that that you bring into this project in some sort of subtle way, do you think?
I mean, maybe not musically right now, but I mix all of our records.
Mm-hmm.
I've recorded half of our records too. And I'm definitely the guy that the sound guy's got to talk to at the show, whether he likes to or not. You're going to be talking to this woman right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
It's had a good effect on our lives.
I love to hear that. And you have four albums together, is that right? And,
yeah.
And the last one was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else in the works or...
Yeah, many
so
things.
So many things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Laurel's kind of more like solo things right now.
Mm.
Laurel's working on a really cool trio album. It'll be the Laurel Primo Trio, and it's all traditional old-time Appalachian music that she's arranged for electric guitar, double bass, and fiddle. So it'll be traditional, but also... Apart from that,
yes.
I guess you could say.
Did you say electric guitar? Is that what you... Okay,
yes.
I want to make sure I heard that right.
I've taken some of these most pentatonic, kind of modal-sounding fiddle melodies and slowed them down mm-hmm. and made them real groovy with some grit with electric guitar. So I'm excited about that coming out sometime this winter. Michael is working slowly on a solo music CD again. He has made one about 10 years ago that was a real cult favorite in Michigan. And so,
which is what you say about something when no one wants it.
No, that's what you say when everyone is begging for another one. So, yeah, everybody's rooting for that to come out sometime.
Yeah.
I like how you're promoting each other's projects. That's really nice.
It is easier to talk about each other.
We don't really feel comfortable talking about our own projects.
But
so
you have,
we just can talk about each other.
But you have a booster within
yeah.
the duo. So
hype man who just happens to be there.
Well, I love that. So some solo stuff also going on as well as this. Are those projects that you would do any touring with or anything like that? Or is that just
maybe
kind
a
of,
little bit. Mm-hmm. Definitely in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. So folks here might be able to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you've been to Finland. Both of you have been to Finland, but mm-hmm. you studied in Finland mm-hmm. For a while, right, Laura?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
I just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, the environment is really similar to the beautiful stuff going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm great with wearing enough layers, so that also was helpful. But, just a beautiful culture and really, really energetic fiddle music. So I think it was about 8 years ago or 9 years ago that I did that. And it was a real, I don't know what you call it, an important time in my development as a traditional musician. Gave me a lot of great ideas and kind of acted as a boot camp for my technical skills. So mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that could happen.
And you were at the Sibelius Academy, which I think some people have heard of before.
Yeah.
And there is a very specific fiddle tradition in Finland, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
They have their own kind of tradition.
Yeah.
I'm doing weird hand gestures here that you can't see on the radio, but
it is just like that. It's swerving.
It's kind of wiggly.
It's dancing. Yeah, great, great energetic stuff.
And you've mentioned the Scandinavian stuff. Does any of that creep into this particular project? Or
I'm certain that my fiddle style, even though I grew up learning different fiddle styles in America, I'm sure that it has a little bit of the drive and backbeat from different traditions over there, just because I've spent maybe more time with teachers in Scandinavia than I have in America.
Mm-hmm.
And in America, it's just been, I don't know what you call it, by ear, you know,
mm-hmm.
playing with the people around me, being influenced by my friends and,
mm-hmm.
you know, casual interactions like that.
Okay.
So I'm sure that other American fiddlers are like, what is that accent on the fiddle right there? And I'm proud of that.
Well, and it's good to have, then that makes you distinctive.
Yeah.
You know, that gives you your distinctive sound. I've been having such a great time talking with you that I didn't realize we are almost out of time. Okay. So I better have you do your last song here.
Yep. We'll play a quick little fiddle tune.
Okay.
So you can feel free to
zone
us, turn us down whenever you need to zoom out. This one's called You Piney Mountain.
Can you give me a tempo?
Yeah.
That's Red Tail Ring live from Studio A. They are Michael Beauchamp and Laurel Primo. Thank you so much. That was really delightful.
Thanks for having us.
And again, they are playing tonight at Amazing Grace Bakery in Duluth. Opening act is local band 4 Mile Portage. It all starts at 7 o'clock. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood, Matt Zimmerman, and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening. This is KUMD, Duluth Public Radio. And we are local independent radio made right here in Duluth. Support local. Support KUMD. Make your donation now. Every gift helps shorten our fall pledge drive. You make it happen. Join Team 1033 and give what you can right now at KUMD.org.